Browns fans, head to Dog Pound Drive, the free Cleveland Browns fan pregame. Don't miss. Live music, food trucks, a beer garden, and more. It's all happening next to First Energy Stadium, starting 3 hours before every home kickoff. Don't miss the next Dog Pound Drive pregame before the Browns and the Bucks. Pregame starts at 10 a.m. on the south side of First Energy Stadium with music from the Billy Morris Band and DJ Step Floss. 216-578-0850 is the way to get on board here with this show. Call your shot on this Friday so that we can get ready for the Browns and the Bucks. Joe, you talked about the cover two. What are some of the routes, and why do you think this offense and these receivers in particular are so well suited to have success against it?
Well, we've seen Hawkins make really good catches on the sideline. Same thing with pretty much all of them. Obviously, Miles Austin's done it. And what you're looking at against the cover two defense, it's more levels and spots.
Okay.
So, again, when you're starting to attack the sidelines, we have the receivers that can make those catches underneath, on the sideline, underneath the coverage. And then, again, there's that space just above the cover two corner. So you get a little bit higher level, and you have to get depth and separation from your flat. So, again, just looking down our roster, who we have as receivers and tight ends and all that, I think it bodes well for us because every single guy that I look through has made tough catches in the areas that we're going to be able to kind of exploit on Sunday.
When you look at this team, likely to be without Jordan Cameron, Matt, if you're a linebacker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this Tampa 2, and they're probably only going to play Tampa 2 probably 40 to 50% of the time anyway, but how does that impact what we could do offensively and from your standpoint as a defender, how you're going to approach this team?
I think it will limit that ability to stress the middle of the field, as we talked all week, you know, missing Jordan Cameron because of the playmaker that he is, and also that, you know, Kyle Shanahan, it seems, every week has a series of plays or a game plan scripted just for Jordan and Brian to connect in open scenarios. And I think that so what we have to do, as Joe kind of highlighted, is use those concepts that beat cover two or Tampa two, some high-low concepts, the crossing routes. But I think what the challenge is we've seen time and time again with Brian Hoyer and just, you know, to name a name, you know, Andrew Hawkins, is a little bit of miscommunication when, you know, he thinks I'm going to stop, and then, you know, Hawkins kind of goes.
Yep.
And you see the ball thrown behind. So those are all the type of little read routes that you're going to find, you know, holes in that defense that they're going to have to communicate on. Speak of the devil, there he is. Kyle Shanahan walking by the dog bowl. Wish we could get him in here for a little schematic session with us.
Keep the secrets in the bag. We'll talk about it on Monday.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's going to be a huge factor, is the communication and the rapport built and the comfort level between Brian Hoyer and some of those underneath routes to be able to find those little holes and sit in the spot that Brian Hoyer feels he can deliver the football accurately.
A big thing, too, for the receivers is they've got to be very consistent on what they're doing.
And decisive, correct?
Decisive is the big word there. If you're going to run and you're going to find a hole, you need to sit down, catch the ball so that your quarterback knows there's no drifting, because a lot of times in a cover two, when you're supposed to stop in a hole but you kind of look like you're still continuing on like it's a man coverage, that's when you get your head knocked off and make mistakes.
And also throw some picks.
Right.
You know, the ball thrown behind you, you know, thrown more to the defender than the
other. Going to a spot and you're moving from your spot when you should just be sitting in that spot. So it's the type of deal where if we are on our game plan and we're doing things the right way, it could be very good for us because, again, they're a defense that's struggling. We're an offense that really does well at moving the field and not turning the ball over. So I think it'll do us well, but the receivers have to be really on point with being very concise with what they're doing.
We saw the bubble screen kind of come in last week. Is that something that can be effective against the cover two? Because if you can get that inside block on the corner, you should have that lane to get up before the linebacker can get over.
Linebacker safety. So, yeah, I think it's something that we could definitely see. If we had success with it, I'd say we show it until they can prove they stop it. So when you have a cornerback out there at the cover two position, you have a receiver that can get on him and get a good stock block. Now it leaves it one-on-one with the linebacker, or if that safety comes down from the cover two position, you're going to bet that one of our receivers is going to make a move on that safety.
Right, and just to reference that bubble screen in general, and because it was a game-changing play for us last week, that's something that Tampa Bay will be prepared for. But our film study and our ability to catch, as you said, they're only going to play that Tampa 2 or defense maybe 40 or 50% of the time, but it's we, through film study and through the proper play call in that scenario, can find the defense where we like the bubble screen most. Maybe we catch them in man and we prefer the bubble screen in man, or or they're in thirds and, you know, we want to get Barnage out in motion to be our lead blocker, whatever it might be. So our film study and is what goes into to make, I think, in my eyes, in my experience, the best screens is when you know they're bringing some type of pressure, you throw the halfback screen. When you know they're playing a certain coverage outside is when you run that bubble screen.
You know, and the other thing that's interesting too, Matt, is just what you're saying. When that safety, if that safety starts to get a little too aggressive on the bubble screen, you then can slip out your receiver on that stock
screen
block
and go,
have
them
go right down, down the field. So
stock
there's
and go.
A lot of options on that thing.
I like that. We got to incorporate that. Get the ball to the playmakers,
Kyle,
out in some
back
space.
Here. Kyle Shanahan, come back here. We got a good game plan for you.
Let's go. We're doing it. We're dialing it up right now. We want you guys to dial us up, 216-578-0850, and call your shot here on this Friday. I know Browns fans and certainly the Cleveland sports fan, a little hungover from last night. Obviously, a lot of euphoria down there, and then a little bit of a flat, disappointing opener from the Cleveland Cavaliers. But it's okay. The Cleveland Sports Week will roll on, and the Browns hopefully will get business taken care of this Sunday against the Bucks. They do have one guy who makes me nervous, Lavonte David. He is the only guy in the NFL with 9 sacks, 6 interceptions over the last 2 seasons. Leads the league in solo tackles. Leads the league in tackles for loss. One of the best cover linebackers in the game. He's somebody you have to be cognizant of at all times, Matt. And when you watched him, what really stood out to you about his game?
What stood out to me, he's an impact player. And as you said, he jumps off the screen because of how active he is. And we talked about that will linebacker position, that weak inside linebacker position in a 4-3 defense. He's a hitter. And he's not so much a big guy. He's probably, I would say, you know, not even 225, 230, but he's very, very active. He's a sure tackler. And where he makes a lot of his plays are, again, scraping clear from the backside on a lot of runs. But then also, too, he makes a lot of plays on the backside when it comes to the Tampa 2, because that void in the middle by the middle linebacker, you know, being that middle run-through player, and Joe referenced those voids in that Tampa 2 coverage. There's a lot of catch tackles. That's where a lot of his tackles come from. That's why he's getting a lot of solo tackles. So someone does run that 5, 6, 7, 8 yard route in, at, or around the middle of the field. He's snapping across from that backside and making that tackle and trying to make an impact play. And that is also, too, something that Brian Hoyer will have to keep a watch on is you throw a lot of picks on the backside because you take for granted that your receiver, you know, because of miscommunication, is going to be in a certain spot. And that backside linebacker, as fast as he is, snaps across and steps right in front of it.
You know what's interesting, too? If you look at Lovie Smith and his history with linebackers, and even in Tampa, you got the Derek Brooks, you got Hardy Nickerson, Lance Briggs, you know,
Chicago, yeah.
I mean, He is Lance Briggs. He is a young Lance Briggs. Exactly. You're exactly right.
And the thing that's interesting about that is you have – he may have got rid of the Revis, but he's always kind of had his defenses with good linebackers. So
yeah,
he's obviously doing that right now.
Trying to do that with Lavonte David, no question about it. The Browns' ground game, I know everybody here is saying, listen, it's just one player away. You need all 11 guys to function. And right now that hasn't happened the last 2 weeks, but they think they can get it going this week against Tampa. Nick McDonald made his debut. Kiro Small made his debut at fullback. So two new parts, really, out of the 6 core blockers in that ground game. How important is it for these guys to get that continuity back so that these things can get going?
Man, it's huge. And again, I watched the entire Oakland Raiders game, review again last night. And I just wanted to find, you know, what we are one block away on 70% of our runs from hitting a chunk play, meaning, you know, 6, 7, 8 yards, 10 yards, 15 yards. And it was, and not to single any guy out, I'll single out a group. We talked about it, the tight end group, you know, capturing that edge. They were getting abused by a defensive end or an outside linebacker time and time again. And if we would just seal or kick out or even just hold on for, you know, one extra beat, we had, you know, 7-plus yard gains by West and Tate multiple times in that Oakland Raider football game.
If Kiro Small comes in and he's more comfortable with this offense, I remember when he came in here a few weeks ago, he walked by us and Matt was like, that's one guy I don't want to hit. And I was shocked to hear that from a defensive player, that he's afraid to hit somebody. But my point is, if Kiro Small can come in there and do something to lay some big blocks down on the linebackers, get through the hole, and give our running backs that opportunity to get to the second level, it's game over. Because again, I think right now our running back position is hungry.
It is hungry.
I think they're hungry.
They are hungry, and I talk.
I think they're angry too.
They don't like this talk. You
no,
know, it was
mix.
Much more
That's
fun for 5
mix.
Weeks
That's
when
okay.
everything was good, and now all of a sudden, the last 2 weeks, it hasn't been. Kiro Small talked to him, and he said, My view of my role is to make a statement. He said, I need to go out there and hit somebody and bring that physicality at the point of attack and say, listen, we are going to hit you in the mouth, and we're going to hit you in the mouth repeatedly when we run the ball down your throat today.
I think that's great. Matt, I'm going to jump in here real quick. When I was playing here back in 07, we had Lawrence Vickers in at fullback, and Lawrence Vickers was not afraid of anybody. He would tell Ray Lewis before the game, every time we'd play Baltimore, he'd meet him at the 50 and tell him he was going to smack him in the mouth. And it was funny because it always sent a tone. And obviously Jamal Lewis that year, you know, he went off. So I think anytime you have an imposing fullback and some guy that's not afraid to put his body out there, it helps you, especially in that running game, because the running backs start to get confidence. They feed off each other. And again, if he can do one crushing block, and get that running back into the second level, it's lights out.
And if I could give him any word to the wise as coming from a defensive player but also understanding offensive football, is that big block is few and far between in the National Football League because of how athletic, you know, linebackers are in today's game, that in some cases it's just one seal, you know, one, you know, get your body in the way, you know, as opposed to getting stalemated in a hole or allowing a guy to swim over you and get an arm on a guy, which slows down a Ben Tate, a West, or a Crowell just enough for a safety to get down and a hitter. So that's, again, and I do think in some cases we saw him line up incorrectly on the one bunch route. He went to, you know, the right side. He was lined up to the quarterback's left. And I think that he was probably amped up, excited to be starting in his first football game, to be active on the roster and have it happen so quickly. So I think that a lot like we're looking for Nick McDonald to settle in and find his way, you know, and build that continuity on the offensive line, Kiro Smalls is as much a part of that in the run game as anybody, because he's not going to handle the ball. It's get lined up and do your job and create those lanes for those running backs, whoever it might be behind you.
The thing that's interesting, too, is I've been in those games, too, where you line up in the wrong position and you're like, what's going on over here? And it confuses you. But when you do have that running back, and a lot of times all it is, Matt, and you know this as well as I do, that it's head positioning. It's just putting your head on the right side of the guy that you're supposed to block is all it takes. And sometimes if you're supposed to seal off the right side and you just put your head on the left, you give the defensive player the opportunity to go to right and make the tackle. So, you know, always talking about being professional and doing the little things. Well, a little thing could be just as simple as head placement that can make and spring a big run.
No question about it. And that's what the Browns have been saying. Attention to that detail. 11 guys working together to get this ground game going. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about the Browns and the Buccaneers this Sunday at First Energy Stadium, diving into this matchup further. Stock up, step up. We also want to have you call your shots. 216-578-0850 or tweet the show at Browns_daily, at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 57. One of these days we'll get Joe Jervicius on Twitter as well. We'll also be back with an injury update on the Browns headed into Sunday's game against the Bucks. Call us up, 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as Ben Tate makes his way over towards the Fox Gentlemen, getting ready to call this game on Sunday.